everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service of public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on iatrogenic disease when we come back. Hey, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep 41% of what you create and produce. Government gets 59%. Now, that's $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? And if you think your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard, produce twice as much, and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes, just like you did this year, and you're going to net about 25%, and the government will net 75%. Which means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to net $4,000 more. You're going to produce twice as much and net 8% more net take-home pay than you did this year. And remember, that's guaranteed by Congress and the IRS. That's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves in the top 5% of income earners and then only get 25% of it. Why don't you call today and order my free 4-hour CD package and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information, and it answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is that you pay so much and receive so little. And let me teach you how to do just that in my Tax and Status School, which is now available on compact disc for adult homeschooling. To order your free general law CD package, just call direct. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967, or you can go to the website georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. And remember, our Tax and Status School is available on compact disc for adult homeschooling. Why don't you call right now before you forget? That's area code 417-273-4967 or the webpage georgegordon.org. Have you ever heard the word iatrogenic? It's spelled I-A-T-R-O-G-E-N-I-C. Iatrogenic illness. Iatrogenic illness means that the ailment is caused by the medical treatment, the doctor. According to the American Medical Association, the U.S. government, and statistics, if you add up the statistical numbers, the third leading cause of death in the United States is medical treatment. Let me repeat that. The third largest killer in America is your doctor. Prescription drugs, surgery, mistakes, or medical accidents. I think this is pathetic and a testament to the perversion of the medical system. Make no mistake about it. I feel the United States has the best emergency medicine system in the world. However, once you leave the emergency department to be cared for by the rest of the medical machine, it's another story altogether. Post-emergent or non-emergent medical care is industry-driven rather than patient-driven. This system is more interested in maintaining product and procedure flow than in human wellness. And it's no wonder that over 50% of all health care visits in this country are to alternative, that is, non-party line doctors. Doctors who, at the risk of ridicule and professional character assassination, care more for their patients than the medical status quo. Now, that's a statement by Dr. Arden Anderson. He's a DO, PhD. And this is from the Health and Healing sections of Acres USA. Health and Healing, Acres USA. Had a little story here this month on iatrogenic disease. I thought I'd share that with you. I've looked that word up once or twice, and I've read a piece or two from time to time. But this is the January 2006 Acres USA. I recommend Acres very highly. Actually, Acres deals more with organics and food and growing and things like that. But they also have a number of other sections or topics. You know, they talk about politics and economics and how it relates to the farm and the family farmer and how it relates to consumers who are trying to buy, let's say, organic produce and find out that the organic companies are being bought up by Kraft and General Mills and that they're diluting and polluting the organic laws that were enacted a few years ago by Congress. A subscription to Acres, I think, is about $27. It is 1 year, 12 issues, $27. 2 years, $48. 3 years, $66. They'll take your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. You can call them toll free 1-800-355-5313. That's 1-800-355-5313. Iatrogenic disease. Doctor-induced disease. How serious is it? Well, heart disease in this country kills about 725,000 people a year. It's the number one killer. So if you've got a pen and paper, why don't you write some of these numbers down? Because as we progress along through this iatrogenic disease series, I think you're going to be shocked. Now, I personally don't go to doctors and I don't go to hospitals. Well, not unless I was unconscious and they hauled me off in the meat wagon or something. I guess I might show up in a hospital. But as soon as I regained consciousness, I would escape. I would be plotting, how do I escape from this institution from the minute that I got in there? Because hospitals are places where people die. The mortality rate in hospitals is higher than you'll find down at the local movie theater or down at the local Sonic, maybe, or the McDonald's store. It's not the kind of place that you want to be caught dead in. 725,000 people a year die from heart disease. That's number one. That's the number one killer in America. Number two is cancer. Kills 541,000 people a year. Now, that's a bunch. 541,000. Then add to that 725,000. 7 and 5 is 12. You know, we're talking about 1,200,000 people a year die from those two diseases. Guess what's number three? You guessed it. Iatrogenic disease, 250,000. A quarter of 1 million people a year die because your doctor cut out the wrong lung, prescribed the wrong medicine, or the nurse brought in the wrong dosage, or some combination, or something else. There's more than one way to kill you in the hospital. In fact, we don't have to kill you in the hospital. We can discharge you from the hospital and let you die at home. And the number one killer in iatrogenic disease is drugs. Drugs. Now, if you take a look at the drug problem in America, and I mean, it's a bad problem. People are smuggling cocaine into the United States, and they're smuggling heroin and marijuana, and you've got all of these kids hooked on these drugs, and they've got a drug czar working in the federal government, and of all of the billions and billions and billions of dollars that are being spent on drugs and how to fight and how to combat drugs. You know, you hear drugs, drugs, drugs everywhere, don't you? It's on the TV constantly. It's on the evening news where drug dealers and drug legislation and drug this and drug that and drug something else, isn't it? Well, listen, John Belushi, remember the Saturday Night Live guy, you know, the funny guy? You know, he died from a heroin overdose. God, that was terrible, wasn't it? And we all lamented the loss of John Belushi. And you know, John Belushi was just one of 6,000 people who die every year from illegal drugs. And you can see why. You can see why the government is so excited about, so down on, so hyped up to put these drug barons, these drug dealers out of business. 6,000 people a year. Put that down in your notes. 6,000 people a year die from illegal drugs every year. Now, how many people die from legal drugs prescribed by your doctor? And the answer is 106,000 a year. So put that number down. 106,000. Did you get that? Now, I'm going to take my Texas Instrument calculator here, and I'm going to plug in 106, and I'm going to divide that by 6. And that's 17.66 times as many people die. 17 times more people die from legal drugs prescribed by their doctors than die from illegal drugs that aren't prescribed by anybody. And every one of those deaths is preventable because it was an accident, it was a mistake. Well, some of it could be intentional. I mean, you could have a doctor. You read about this once in a while. Some doctor is out killing people. He gives them drugs and it kills them. There was a guy over in England. He killed 35 or 40 of his patients. There was a nurse up in New Jersey, and he was running around killing people in the hospital. And we don't know how much of that goes on. But leaving those bizarre, unusual episodes, that those homicide-type deals out, just the doctor doing his job every day, going to the office, prescribing medicine to his patients, is killing 106,000 people a year, 17 times the number that are being killed down on the street. Now, if you were to take 106,000 people, let's just take 106,000, shall we? Let's divide that by 500. That's how many people fit into a Boeing 747. A Boeing 747. That would be 212 plane crashes. Now, do you suppose that if 212 Boeing 747s crashed, killed 500 people each time, that somebody would get excited and go to Congress and demand a better safety from Boeing or better safety from the FAA or something's got to be done? You ever wonder why it is that government and people and the news media get real hyped up and real excited about things that don't amount to a row of pins, like 6,000 people dying from illegal drugs, and they never tell you a word about the 106,000 that die from the legal drugs? And that's just one of the causes of iatrogenic disease. Iatrogenic. Remember, iatrogenic disease is doctor-caused or doctor-induced disease. It's the doctor who kills you. It's the doctor who creates or causes the malady from which you are suffering. Now, not everybody dies from iatrogenic disease. You know, it's like not everybody dies from cancer or heart attack. Sometimes they can survive as vegetables. Sometimes they survive with an impairment. Sometimes the impairment's not very serious, and sometimes it's very serious. Maybe it's permanent. The story gets thicker as we progress. Remember, this is a story by Arden Anderson. It's in the Acres USA, January 2006 edition. And there are some good technologies and medicines in conventional medicine. But this status quo does not have exclusivity on good technology. There are also equally good technologies outside of this box. And there are certainly times when surgery is truly life-saving, when the right medications make life livable, when therapies are just the adjunct that the immune system needed to get the upper hand. We have all heard about the surgeon that operated on the wrong leg, or the patient who died from minor surgery, or the person who had a seizure from a common medication. Now, these accidents and mistakes, as in any potentially hazardous industry, do happen. Steel workers fall to their death every once in a while. Football players break their necks or die of heat stroke. It's a part of life. It's a part of life in the fast lane. So I'm not going to dwell on these iatrogenic causes of injury and death. The iatrogenic problems that I want to discuss are those that we can do something about, something that we can make different choices in our health and medical care. Now, first of all, we should get educated, informed of our choices. And it isn't difficult to find case examples of severe problems where conventional therapies totally failed, even made the condition worse. And these are cases of structural injuries and pain syndromes, a category that conventional medicine grossly fails to treat appropriately and frequently makes worse. Now, the difficulty with this particular area of medicine is that there is so much hype that is associated with high technology orthopedics or professional athletic training or Hollywood workout videos and scripted treatment protocols. Many of these therapies and programs are fine for the average person who accepts the assumption that scar tissue formation is normal and expected, that residual pain is easily covered by pain medications, arthritis is inevitable later in life, and that joint replacements are acceptable expectations. However, it need not be that way. There are other options for those who seek them out. Healing of an injury is not significantly different than healing a sinus infection. We must provide the body with the necessary nutrition to heal, to remove the stress, and to allow the immune system to do its job. Once you understand that any injury carries with it a complex of misalignments that allow the weakened area of the body, that these areas must be corrected along with the injured area, you can then demand your treatment and treating professionals that they address all of these areas at the same time. The most comprehensive book available for professional or patient addressing body structure is Holographic Health Book Number 1 by Theodore Baruti, Jr. This book shows you an excellent way to test every joint in the body and appropriate techniques for realigning it. Dr. Baruti calls this synchronization because anytime the body is out of alignment, its function physically or energetically no longer functions correctly. One does not need to be a doctor, a trainer, or a physical therapist to know when certain therapies either make sense or seem to contradict it. If your professional is telling you something that seems to contradict common sense, why don't you take time to think about it? Perhaps get another opinion. The real grade comes in results. Another area very prominent in the iatrogenic disease area is pharmacology, that is, prescription drugs. I've had innumerable patients take a dozen or more prescription drugs coming to see me because they feel terrible. After changing their diets, getting them off many or most of their prescription drugs, and then getting some nutrition into their bodies, these people feel good again. Or perhaps for the first time they feel good in their whole lives. Make no mistake about it, and I acknowledge that there are many wonderful medications that really do a great job with certain conditions, and without them, these patients would probably die. The problem is that most doctors do not look at prescription medications as adjunct therapies to nutrition and diet. They look at prescription medications as the first-line therapy, and diet and nutrition as having no therapy at all. It's not only the walking prescription pads to whom I am referring. There are many alternative practitioners who have it in their minds that the therapy they practice, perhaps exclusively, is all that this patient needs. And I've seen homeopaths say that the patient needs only homeopathics and a balanced diet. And I've heard osteopaths who practice only cranial sacral therapy. They tell patients that cranial sacral therapy and a balanced diet are all that are necessary. Well, these statements are no truer than saying a prescription drug and a balanced diet are all that the patient needs to be well. And that's because no single therapy is the complete answer, and it may be a significant component to a given program, but not to the whole regimen. Now, regarding the balanced diet component, if we could actually define truly what is a balanced diet, where or were, that might suffice for some people. However, the fact of the matter is that the food itself today is significantly deficient in nutrients due to the poor nutritional practices of the farmers that grow the food in the first place, including much of this organically certified food. Supplementation is imperative for health and healing. Diet alone in this world, at least in the United States, is not adequate, particularly when the patient needs therapeutic doses of nutrients to achieve healing. Now, getting back to the prescription medication issue, we should evaluate both the patient's health concerns and the medication side effects. And I suggest that every parent and every patient first consider and have a trial with nutritional, herbal, or homeopathic therapies before moving on to the prescription drugs, whenever there is a possibility for this option. Here's an excellent example of this. It's in the treatment of high blood pressure and irregular heartbeat. Magnesium is an excellent nutrient for both of these conditions and should be tried before placing the patient on some kind of drug. Now, I've found success with many of my patients using magnesium glycinate or similar compounds for blood pressure issues and magnesium chloride in liquid for irregular heartbeat. And I've also found that with many of my patients that getting the heavy metals out of their bodies in conjunction with magnesium supplementation is very effective for the more resistant cases, and exercise and stress reduction are very important therapies for high blood pressure. Now, here are the top causes of death in the United States. Heart disease, 724,000. Cancer, 541,000. Iatrogenic, doctor-caused disease, 250,000. Cerebrovascular, 158,000. Lung disease, 112,000. If you've got your pen and paper out there, boys and girls, write these numbers down. Heart disease, 725,000. Cancer, 540,000. Iatrogenic, 250,000. Cerebrovascular stroke, 158,000. Lung disease, 112,000. Now, those are your top five killers in the United States. Notice that the third leading cause of death in this country is your doctor. Now, the 250,000 number is up in the air. Many experts believe that it's closer to a million, and that's understating the case by about 75%, or that's only about 25% of the total. I'm going to show you some other numbers from other sources, and that's because in the United States, heart disease is monitored. The Center for Disease Control, for instance, keeps track of these diseases and what is causing those diseases, or at least they're trying to. What they don't keep track of is iatrogenic disease. Nobody, no agency of government, not the FDA, not the Department of Agriculture, not the American Medical Association, not the CDC, nobody keeps track of how many people are dying because the doctor screwed up and gave them the wrong medication or cut out the wrong lung. And that's because of the lawsuits that are involved. I mean, let's just be intelligent people. Let's suppose that you're a doctor and you prescribe the wrong drug. Are you going to go talk to the widow of this guy and say, gee, lady, it's my fault that your husband died. I should have prescribed glycerin, but I did prescribe this other drug, and this other drug over here was for diabetes, and the wrong drug killed your husband, and it's really my fault. You think you're going to find very many doctors making those statements? Here's what we're going to find. Statistic number one, vaccines cause death and injury. Of the total number of people who die from vaccines, only 5% are reported. In some locations, like New York State, it's as high as 10%. 10%. So at the low end, 5% are reported. At the high end, 10% are reported. In any event, 90% of all of the deaths that come from vaccines or the injuries that come from vaccine therapy is never reported. Same thing is true here for iatrogenic disease. It ranges from 5 to 20%. In some locations, it's as low as 5% reporting, and in some locations around our country, here in the United States, it's as high as 20%. If we take the 20% high, 80% of all of the people who die from the doctor's mistakes are never reported. So when you take 250,000, that's what we know of. That's what's being reported. That's where there are actual numbers or studies. And when the government does a study, they do a pretty good job. At least we have a number to work from. If they tell us that unemployment is running at, you know, 2 million, well, then we can be pretty sure that there's at least 2 million people that are unemployed. There might be 4 or 5 million, but we know of 2 million, don't we? We've got that number down. But when we're talking about iatrogenic disease, we're not talking about the government doing a study or an investigation like the FAA or the Highway Patrol investigating a traffic accident and getting all the names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence. This information is being collected by the doctors. Doctors are not collecting evidence against themselves. So the only ones that are actually identified are those that are done by autopsy. So let me give you an illustration. A patient dies. Well, most people that die were sick to start with. So you had a heart attack and you went to the hospital. And while you were in the hospital, you died. And so on your death certificate, it's going to say, well, he died of a heart attack. He had a heart attack. It was diagnosed as a heart attack. While he was in the hospital, he died. Therefore, he died of a heart attack. Now, you take this same guy in and you give him an autopsy and they find out that, oh my God, he's got 3 times the lethal dose of some kind of a prescription medicine in his veins. He had a heart attack and he was sick nigh unto death, no doubt about that. But that's not what killed him. It was the poison. It was the drug that killed him. Now, we could sit here and say, well, he was going to die anyway from the heart attack. Maybe. But he didn't die from the heart attack. He died from the drug. And if you hadn't given him the drug, he might have died anyway from the heart attack. But he certainly is going to die from the poison and the drug because it was the wrong drug. Now, that kills 106,000 that we can identify. They actually do autopsies, and 106,000 of those actually get counted. Now, let's try it this way. You have a heart attack, and you're taken to the hospital. And the doctor prescribes a drug and sends you home. You die at home. You're well attended. And, of course, we knew you had a bad heart. And we knew that you were on medication, and this medication killed you. But there's no autopsy. Now, the attending physician is not going to say, gee, let's do an autopsy and see whether or not the drug I gave this guy killed him, or whether he actually died from a heart attack. The doctor says he obviously died of a heart attack, and he puts that on the death certificate for two reasons. Number one, it's logical. Number two, I really don't want to know what this guy died from. He might have died from some other cause, which might have been my fault, and I don't need that. So 80% of the time, we never find out what killed this guy. Not everybody who dies has an autopsy. And the doctor who is the attending physician is typically your family doctor. And your family doctor kills a lot of people. Every doctor in America kills a lot of people. They probably don't do it intentionally, but they do it. And if it were found out, they would be sued. And that doctor doesn't need that. Neither does the insurance company. And so every doctor maintains his silence. And that's just the way the game is played, so let's grow up and get real. All right, we'll be back with more on iatrogenic disease right after this. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are designed as an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school and ask for it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. And the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call the Law Hour or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about iatrogenic disease this week, an article appearing in the January 2006 Acres USA, written by Dr. Arden Anderson. Let's see if he's got a web page here. Dr. Arden Anderson is a soil specialist, agricultural consultant, and physician. He specializes in nutritional management and advises farmers in building biology to optimize the energy environment of buildings, homes, and livestock facilities. His most recent book is called Real Medicine, Real Health, from which this article is excerpted. It is available from the Acres USA bookstore for $20, plus $3 shipping and handling in the United States, $8 if it's sent international, $12 in the Middle East and Africa. To order, call toll-free 1-800-355-5313. Again, that's 1-800-355-5313, or you can visit www.acresusa.com. How's that? That's the Acres USA webpage, www.acresusa.com. If you'd like to subscribe to Acres, I recommend it to all of my students, especially in our agricultural classes. We do two classes on agriculture, how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less, or subsistence and survival. And you can call and order a subscription to Acres USA by calling toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-800-355-5313, same number. They also have a section in here on books. So if you want to order books on organic agriculture, Acres USA is probably the number one publication. Now, Rodale might arguably be the number one publication on organics and horticulture, but if that's the case, then Acres has to be at least number two. So I recommend Acres USA. It comes out every month, jam-packed with articles, about 48 pages, tabloid newspaper size. It's more than you're going to read in a month's time. More than you're going to read. Now, going on here, he says, unfortunately, most heart medications have significant side effects with many patients. And many patients just accept the side effects because their doctor tells them that they must. This is particularly true regarding sex drive because the doctor can just prescribe Viagra for men, provided they're not taking nitroglycerin. It need not be that way. There are often not always other options. An excellent example is that of a very busy professional man in his early 50s who came to me with complaints of angina, that is, high blood pressure and depression. He had recently gone through a complete cardiac workup, and his cardiologist had him on a number of medications. He felt terrible, felt like he was getting worse. He was told that he needed heart surgery, and the medications made him feel worse than before he started them. He was worried that he would not be able to work anymore, and he was unable to have sexual relations with his wife. He was impotent from the medications. Well, after spending 45 minutes to an hour with him, I told him on his first visit that I thought that we could help. That statement alone gave him some hope. I told him that over the course of his treatment, I thought there was a very good possibility that we could get him off at least some of his medications and perhaps all of them, depending upon how his body responded. So we put him on a higher protein diet, supplements to include 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C, 2,000 international units of vitamin E, 200 milligrams of CoQ10, 500 milligrams of carnitine, and 400 milligrams of extra magnesium and calcium, plus EDTA intravenous chelation therapy. 4 months later, he was off all except the reduced dose of only one blood pressure medication, was back to work full-time, exercising without any angina, and able to have normal sexual relations with his wife. He was ecstatic. Now, the point here is this, that his problem was not a deficiency of medications. He had plenty of medicine. What his problem was, he had a deficiency of nutrition, and he had an overload of heavy metals. Now, I talked to him 2 years later, and he was still doing well without any additional medicines or medications. Another major prescription medication boon is the acid blocker industry. Acid blocking neutralizing medication, both over-the-counter drugs, they're called OTCs, and prescription, are consumed like candy in the United States. They're advertised as adjuncts to spicy, greasy, or heavy meals without ever considering the consequences or the causes of this indigestion. It could be compared to taking morphine before hitting your thumb with a hammer, so as not to worry about the consequences should it occur. But again, the problem is not a deficiency of medication. It's not a deficiency of morphine. It's a deficiency of common sense. It's a deficiency of preventive medicine, looking at cause and effect, cleaning up your diet and the food chain. Now, these long-term acid-blocking medications, from my experience in the medical practice, result in trace mineral deficiencies and problems with protein digestion because acid is in fact needed for all of these functions to be normal. Improper protein digestion can result in inappropriate protein particle absorption into your bloodstream, resulting in IgG immune stimulation, that is, delayed food sensitivity, further resulting in systemic inflammatory responses, as already mentioned previously. Another medication problem is antibiotic use. Now, I've read and heard at medical conferences that as many as 80% of all of the antibiotic prescriptions are totally unnecessary. This is because the infection for which the antibiotic is written is usually a viral infection. Now, viruses are not responsive to antibiotics. Every doctor knows plainly that antibiotics do absolutely nothing against a virus. So by definition, antibiotics treat bacterial infections. They do not treat viral infections. They do not treat fungal infections. And when these prescriptions are made for viral or fungal infections, 80% of them are totally useless, except for making or generating revenue for the doctor's practice. Now, the practice of carte blanche dispensing of antibiotics has created numerous superbacteria that are now resistant to or immune to the effects of these antibiotics. This practice has also increased the incidence of digestive system disorders, particularly leaky gut, because antibiotics irritate the intestinal wall, thus adversely increasing its permeability to toxins, infections, incompletely digested proteins, and drugs. Now, I've seen a number of teenagers and young adults with significant allergy problems, digestive problems, chronic fatigue, and autoimmune disorders who were loaded with antibiotics as children. Is that directly cause and effect by the scientific method? Well, no, it probably is not. But you know, common sense in observing what we know antibiotics do, and then piecing together the histories of these people and simple patient observation tells me that these problems have some correlation to chronic antibiotic use. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to put two and two together. I don't need a double-blind study to tell me that hitting my thumb with a hammer is injurious to my thumb. Yet there are those who contend that for a claim to be scientific, there has to be a double-blind study to promote it. These same critiques will argue that we cannot draw accurate scientific conclusions from common sense. Only their scientific protocols can draw scientific conclusions and draw accurate conclusions from information. Now, one simply has to remember that the people who want us to discard common sense, the most are most that stand to financially profit the most by that discard. In addition, there are numerous articles in the scientific literature warning about superinfections and antibiotic resistance. For instance, in Science of September 7, 2001, it reviews the trends in both antibiotic and herbicide resistance from the 1930s to the 1980s. Every year, treating common infections becomes a little more difficult because the antibiotics that once were very effective against them are no longer effective. And I've noticed this in my own practice over years of time and experience. Now, the points to remember regarding iatrogenic or doctor-caused illnesses are these. They're very common. They are totally preventable. Patients must become informed and educated about all possible options. And then common sense must prevail. Modern medicine is an adjunct therapy. It is not the solution to sickness. Now remember, that's Dr. Arden Anderson, a soil scientist, agricultural consultant, and physician. He specializes in nutritional management and advises farmers in building biology to optimize the energy environment of buildings, homes, and livestock facilities. His most recent book is called Real Medicine, Real Health, from which this article has been excerpted. It's available from Acres USA, the bookstore, for $20 plus $3 shipping and handling. That's $23 for you here in the United States. $28 if you're international. That is, if you're in Canada or someplace else in the world, send a $28 bill. If you're in the Middle East or Africa, it's $32. To order that book, you can call Acres. Their number, 1-800-355-5313. Again, that's 1-800-355-5313. Or you can go to the Acres website. It's www.acresusa.com. It's an easy one, acresusa.com. That same phone number will get you a subscription to the Acres newsletter. I guess it's, what do they call it? Is it the Acres magazine? Acres newsletter? Acres what? Let me find out. If I can find page one here, it's called Acres USA, A Voice for Eco Agriculture. I'd call it a newspaper. It's tabloid size. How many pages are in here? Might as well give them a little promotion here. I don't get paid for this. It's 44 pages in this issue, the January issue. And they've got a book section in here, and they've just got tons of articles and stories in here about health and nutrition, soils, and how to create healthy organic soils, how to raise chickens, pigs, turkeys, cattle, horses. They got a section in here on veterinarians. You know, if you want to learn how to take care of your own horse and your own cows and things like that, they got a section in here. Tells you how to do that, how to take care of your critters. I've been in the cattle business for, I'm pushing 70. Started when I was 15. How long have I been around here? 15. Well, 50 years. I've been dinking around with cows and chickens and livestock for 50 years. And I've got a few sheep and a few cows now, and I think the last time I called a vet was about 5 years ago. I had a cow go down on me. And the vet has a shot that he gives a cow. I don't know what it is, but it's a stimulant. And then they'll get up. Most times they'll get up. And if there's enough energy in that cow, they'll stimulate them to get up on their feet, and then you can go work with them. The time before that I called the vet was probably 5 years before that, so You know, I don't call the vet very often. We pretty much take care of our cattle here by nutrition. Once in a while we screw up and they get short of something and they'll get sick, and then you got to give them some kind of a nutrient. Well, if you'd like to learn what kind of nutrients you should be giving your livestock, Acres USA is the publication that'll keep you abreast of, or give you the books and the techniques and technology that you need to do just that. So whether you're just a little guy and you got a couple of horses or a cow, or you've got 15 or 50 or 150, I got to tell you a cool story here. When I was a youngster, we used to treat mastitis with antibiotics, give them a shot of penicillin. And it works. I'm not denying that. It'll work. But there's an easier, faster, cheaper way. Mastitis is caused by a pH imbalance. And as soon as a cow comes in with a hard quarter, just tuck this away in your heart now. She comes in, she's got a hard quarter. You immediately give her some corn or oats soaked in vinegar, and she'll just eat it right up. She'll eat it right up because she's short of that acid and that vinegar. She'll eat that up, and 24 hours later, that quarter will be just as soft and normal as it can be. Try that out. Vinegar therapy. I haven't used antibiotics for at least 25 years. 25 years. I haven't touched antibiotics. I don't have very much in the way of mastitis. Maybe once every 5 years I'll have a cow come in with a hard quarter. She gets out of balance, and give her a little vinegar and that's it. All right, so that's the story on Acres. Now, the subject matter is iatrogenic disease. And in this article, this is a medical doctor, says 250,000 people a year are dying from doctor-caused ailments. So I got to looking at that and I said, wow, that's amazing. That's the third leading cause of death in the United States. So I said, hey, Dirk, get on the web and see if you got any more information concerning this thing of iatrogenic disease. And he did. He got on the web, and here's some of the stories that he came up with. I got a couple of minutes here, so I'll share with you a couple of one-pagers here. Here's perioperative deaths, a comparative study of coroner's autopsies between the periods 1989 and 1991, and 1992 and 1994. This is the Department of Forensic Medicine, Institute of Science and Forensic Medicine in Singapore. So this isn't a problem that's just in the United States. It's a worldwide problem. And the statistics and the numbers are just about the same wherever you look in the world. The same statistics apply. An earlier retrospective clinico-pathological review of 132 perioperative coroner's autopsies, excluding cases of preoperative major trauma, conducted by the Department of Forensic Medicine during the period from January 1989 to December 1991, showed that such cases accounted for an average of 2% of all coroner's autopsies performed during that time. Of these, 15.2% were iatrogenic deaths, which were unrelated to anesthetic complications. All right, here's an important number for you. This is a pretty erudite treatise over here on cause and effect. But notice the number here, 15.2% of these deaths are iatrogenic. They're caused by the doctor. Now, you came in sick, and the doctor killed you. I mean, you didn't need that. You were already sick enough to die, but you didn't need the doctor to finish the job. 15%. These deaths were unrelated to anesthetic complications, so it wasn't the anesthesiologist that killed you. Over the subsequent three-year period, from January of 92 to December of 94, there were 170 similar cases arising from a total of 6,468 coroner's autopsies, representing a composite necropsy incidence of 2.6%, an annual incidence of 2.5% to 2.8%, and an absolute increase of 38 cases over the previous period. So what they're telling you here is, over the numbers that they studied, they found that there is an increase over time of these iatrogenic deaths. So doctors are killing more people today in 2005 than they were in 1994. They were killing more people in 1994 than they were killing in 1985. And they were killing more people in 1985 than in 75. So the problem is this, and I've got an article that I'll share with you as we progress along. The more doctors that you put out into the field practicing medicine, the higher the rate of iatrogenic disease. So the medical establishment of and by itself is a hazard to your health, and the more doctors you put out there to treat your deficiencies or to treat your maladies, the more likely you are to have one of these iatrogenic incidents, they call them. Also, the proportion of non-anesthetic iatrogenic deaths almost doubled to 28.8%, although these observations do not considered alone denote a rise in perioperative mortality during the second period from 92 to 94 as compared to the first. Since both studies were limited to deaths reported to the coroner, they do seem to emphasize the need for a comprehensive ongoing clinical and medical legal audit of perioperative deaths locally. Now, I want you to notice the reported to the coroner. Boys and girls, most people's deaths are not reported to the coroner. There are not autopsies made in most deaths. I don't know what percentage is, 5-10% of people who die have an autopsy. So they're only checking the autopsy records to find out, well, what killed this guy? And come to find out that it's the doctor that kills him, and then this one death at a time. Well, you see, when an airplane goes down, it kills 200 or 300 people all at the same time. That's exciting. That's newsworthy. But when you kill 300 people in 300 different locations, those are 300 individual deaths, and they don't mean jack squat to anybody. It isn't until you start adding them all up and you take them nationwide or California-wide or Colorado-wide, statewide, that you say to yourself, wow, these guys are killing 100,000 this way and 200,000 that way and 300,000 another way. Pretty soon, you know, you start adding up all these deaths and it gets to be pretty impressive. So at present, the proportion of perioperative deaths which are not reported to the coroner and thereby escape medical review remains undetermined. In addition, as of the end of 1995, only 23 of 51 pathologically unnatural deaths received a coroner's verdict of misadventure, with an additional 11 such cases pending inquiry. This rather wide divergence between medical opinion and legal judgment could be a subject of further research. So this comes from Medline, indexed for Medline, and that'll give you the beginning of tomorrow night's program, because tomorrow night we'll take a look at what is it that these doctors are doing that kill you. And I'll share that with you and show you just how hazardous that hospital or that doctor's office can be to your health, safety, and welfare. That's next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. All right, you've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, talking about iatrogenic disease. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.